The Bitcoin halving is done, so here is everything you need to know. Good morning, you're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to stay ahead of the curve in crypto, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. So the much anticipated fourth Bitcoin halving happened on Saturday. And so the lion's share of this episode is going to be going over everything that happened, from the macro impact of this singular event to the fascinating and frankly bizarre details, including one person paying a transaction fee of $700,000 on a 97 cent transaction. And then before I sign off, there was a major announcement between Tether and Telegram that I need to catch you up on. In all honesty, it was a quiet weekend for Bitcoin price-wise, although it has been gradually creeping up and it's now at $66,000 at 6 a.m. Eastern. Nevertheless, if you weren't interested in the Bitcoin ecosystem, the whole halving event could have passed you by with ease. But as we are, whether you focus on the details or zoom out, this halving event was singular, fascinating, and sets us up beautifully for what's to come. Now, before I dive into the interesting details of this halving, I want to cover five reasons why this halving was singular with the help of Helen Parts. I've had several people outside of crypto with a cursory interest in it asking me why this halving was so important. To give a better answer than just the reduction of supply, you need to understand why this halving was different from the previous three. Number one, the crypto user base is up at least 400% since the last halving. In 2020, the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance estimated 100 million users of crypto. In December 2023, and remember that's pre-all-time highs, crypto.com estimated the number of users to be around 580 million. That is a lot more demand. Number two, I've discussed this a lot because we don't really know what it means yet, but we saw that all-time high before the halving, and that is the first time that has ever happened. So the cycles might be getting blurrier, and those all-time highs we saw before this halving could indicate a strong bullish sentiment, in part because of number three, the spot Bitcoin ETFs. Throw a dart at any episode from December to March, and I'll likely have been talking about them in depth, simply because they have had an incredible impact in and outside of crypto. To quote Eric Balchunas from Bloomberg, BlackRock has over 1,000 ETFs globally and iBit, the iShares Bitcoin Trust, is 0.1% of their total product line, but accounts for 24% of their net flows year to date. Oh, and it just launched. IMO, it would be weird not to be mesmerized by that and cover all angles. Number four, the miners were better prepared for Saturday's halving than any of the previous three. Fidelity Digital Assets Director of Research, Chris Kuiper, told Cointelegraph, "In comparison to previous halvings, it appears miners are in better shape overall in terms of lower levels of debt and potentially better control over their costs, such as electricity." Kuiper then told us that part of the reason for this was the pre-halving all-time highs. And number five, Bitcoin has become markedly more decentralized and secure. This is a fact that I don't think enough people know. Back at the 2020 halving, most new Bitcoin was mined in mainland China. In fact, nearly 80% of Bitcoin's total mining hash rate back then was in China. As of February 2024, 40% of the total hash rate is in the US, China is down to 15%, Russia is at 12%, and the rest is spread all over the globe. The halvings give us a nice opportunity in a way to look back and see just how far we've come in 4 years. But now let's look at those interesting details. The fourth Bitcoin halving happened after the posting of the 840,000th block. The mining rewards are now 3.125 BTC per mined block, and we will likely see the next 50% reduction in 2028 as Satoshi Nakamoto's system for managing scarcity and inflationary supply continues to work as advertised. But as it stands, we are some way off of the last Bitcoin being mined, as that should happen in the year 2140. And as a fan of the game Battlefield 2142, I'm not sure I want to be around for that anyway. So now all eyes turn to the price. Past halvings have rarely seen much of an uptick in the following month, but then a year after the halving, the price is typically much, much higher. The M2 CEO, Stephen Kimmel, told Cointelegraph, "The Bitcoin halving is a pivotal event that historically signals a shift in the market, usually initiating a bullish trend over the following months." The billionaire investor Tim Draper told Cointelegraph, The simple reason that Bitcoin price goes up after the halving is that the supply goes down, and with continued upward pressure on demand, the price goes up naturally in a free market. Now, although the halving is always something of a quiet event, there was some utter madness that happened. So on Friday's episode, I did a breakdown of Casey Rodemor's Runes protocol on Bitcoin, aimed to replace the BRC20 token standard and his earlier project, Ordinals, with a cleaner version. Runes are going to be talked about a lot over the coming months, so go and listen to Friday's episode if you want to learn about that frenzy. But in short, it's very much in vogue right now, and it launched with the halving. As a result, many were interested in inscribing and nabbing rare Satoshis from this 840,000th block, and they were ready to pay a premium to be included. At 12:09 a.m. on Saturday the 20th of April, the Bitcoin miner, via BTC, produced the block that triggered the automated halving protocol, receiving the now reduced 3.125 BTC for their efforts. But they're not going to go hungry, because including that miner subsidy, they earned a total of 40.7 Bitcoin worth $2.6 million, as 37.67 BTC was spent on transaction fees. One person alone paid a $700,000 transaction fee on their 97 cent transaction just to be included in the 840,000th block, though we don't currently know who they are or why they did it, but you would think it has to be Ordinals or a Runes project. In total, on Saturday the 20th of April, the day of the halving, Bitcoin miners earned a record of $107.7 million in mining rewards and transaction fees. And that breaking of a Bitcoin record could just be a taste of things to come, according to some analysts and market observers. So far, no post-halving price slump has happened, and some believe that this, combined with the pre-halving all-time highs and institutional inflows into the spot Bitcoin ETFs, might mean that we're looking at the most bullish setup for Bitcoin, according to Sukhvir Sangera, founder and CEO of Earth Wallet. As for the post-halving price slump that we have often seen in the past, it may still come. And the CEO of OneChain, Temujin Lui, told Cointelegraph, "Historically, Bitcoin halvings were followed by a slump. Expect to see continued consolidation so long as support around $58,000 holds. If BTC breaks recent highs, look for a rapid increase to $80,000, $90,000 or even $100,000 as investors favor round numbers." So now with the halving done, we are moving into one of the most exciting periods in crypto, and I'll be here every morning keeping you up to date with everything. My original intention with this episode was to be just about Bitcoin and the Bitcoin halving, but there was some pretty significant news that I don't want to leave out. Telegram is becoming a frequent subject on this podcast lately, but they keep giving me reasons to discuss them. This time, in fact, there are two things you need to know, and it includes Tether. So firstly, eyebrows were raised when it was announced that Tether CEO Paolo Ardoino and the Telegram founder Pavel Durov were giving keynote speeches at Token 2049 in Dubai at more or less the same time. There appeared to be some sort of collaboration in the works. The speeches were streamed live and we got a lot of information. The primary takeaway, however, was the indeed rumoured collaboration. Tether made the announcement that it would be launching its US dollar pegged stablecoin, USDT, on the open network, known as TON, which is Telegram's layer 1 blockchain. Additionally, Tether will be launching its gold pegged Tether Gold stablecoin, XAUT, on TON 2. The Tether CEO Ardoino said, "The launch of USDT and XAUT on TON will allow seamless value transfer, increasing activity and liquidity while offering users a financial experience that can match those found in the traditional financial system." Telegram's own announcement said, "The TON blockchain works with Telegram, meaning USDT and XAUT on TON will have the potential to provide a simple, borderless experience for peer-to-peer payments for Telegram's user base, which Telegram estimates is over 900 million global users." So on top of this, the focus on peer-to-peer interactions by Telegram expands past the partnership with Tether as well. The messaging app will be incorporating mini apps, opening the possibility to e-commerce, paywalled content, games, and myriad other innovations on the TON layer 1. The TON Foundation Director of Investments, Justin Hyun, told Cointelegraph's Ezra Regera at the Token 2049 conference in Dubai that the launch of Tether on TON really unlocks the creator economy that is already happening on TON and Telegram. He added that, The most interesting use cases are the ones that engage in social viral mechanics. So there are games that are being created on a daily basis that are powered through Telegram's mini apps. So it seems to me that Telegram is trying to create a multifaceted platform using its Ton Layer 1 blockchain and Tether to do so. And I know it's early days, but it certainly feels as if Telegram is one of the front runners to be a major character in the next crypto bull run. Right, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. You can also join our official RNC channel on Warpcast. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.